Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I don't know how many of you does have experience with street evangelism and what you think of that. Often people can be negative. Just recently, I've heard from one guy, he didn't know that our church is quite involved with street evangelism at the time, doing street evangelism. So he was speaking in negative contexts, like, oh, that doesn't give results, which is not true from my experience. And then it came to my mind something what D.L. Moody said when people were criticizing his ways of evangelism. He said, I better like my way of doing it than your way of not doing it. So unless we try, we will not know. And I'm not saying that street evangelism is easy, but I'm saying that it can be a big blessing and that it can bring people to Christ and help growth of the church, and even not just bring those who doesn't know Jesus to him, but also to help to that church will grow into maturity. So in your notes, you can see that I wrote that there are two approaches to street evangelism. And I named first one passive. That's actually quite not correct name, because there is no such thing as a passive street evangelism. Someone may think you get to the street, take chair, sit, and everything it happens by itself. You have to work as well. But the passive one, you have to do something, is the one which even one person can do. I don't suggest that. I always recommend that at least two or three go together, but there were times when just I or someone else from our church would go to do that kind of street evangelism. Today, because of the time, we don't have time for practicalities, so this will be just one overview of the things. But as you can see in your notes, the first thing which I put there is a book table. And we started in our church to go to the streets of Sarajevo with book table probably some 10, if not more, years ago. It's a very easy thing to do. And that was something which quite a few times I go just myself. Take one small table, plastic one that it's easy to carry, and put on the place where many people are walking by, put two signs. One sign which says Evangelical Church, and then the other sign which says Free Literature. Or it can be just one sign, Free Christian Literature. But I always suggest to be from that moment, from the very beginning, very straightforward. Not just free literature, but Christian or church that people know what they are coming for and where. And then people love to receive gifts. They love to take free things, free books. Our books, choice of the books have to be, we have to choose books carefully. It have to be evangelistic books for non-Christians. Good titles, good quality of the books. In your own language, if possible. Then there have to be a variety of the books. I mean, you can get to the street just with the New Testament, and that's completely fine. But if there is possibility, as many books possible, as better. And you may ask, but where I will find books? Well, if you want to do good street evangelism, good book table evangelism, you have to invest. So I believe that God will, and in our case, he does provide for that kind of things. Our church is a small church. We are not a big church. And we translated some evangelistic books and printed them out, and we are giving them for free. Beside evangelistic books, it's good to have at least a few different testimonies. It can be book testimony or just a short brochure of testimony of people from different backgrounds. And then last but not least, I would say most important, translation of New Testament or Bible. We are blessed in Bosnia that one Christian parachurch organization printed for their 50th anniversary, they printed 50,000 Bibles and gave them for free to churches, so we have quite a big supply of Bibles to give for free to people. Then when we put table, we put books, and we are waiting for people to come. I live in Sarajevo. Sarajevo is predominantly Muslim city. It's over 90% Muslims. You would be surprised how many people do stop and ask for the book. And then it's not goal just to give them book, but to start conversation with them, to talk to them, to get to know them. It's very important, crucially important, to have in each book contact details, yours or of your church, that once people read the book, that they can come, that they can call. And we had cases where people would call and then come to church after they read the book. So when they stop by the table, if you have more than one title, you can even put sign one book for free, because you don't want to give them just because it's free. And if it is one, then it gives you opportunity to have deeper conversation with them. What happens usually, they come and ask what you can suggest from those titles. And then I ask, okay, tell me a little bit about yourself. What are your interests? What are your religious beliefs? What is your background? And people like to talk about themselves, especially when they are not pressed or if you don't ask too personal questions. But you know, open questions. And then conversation starts and you see from which background they are coming. So you have testimony of atheist, you have testimony of Muslim who became Christian, or you know, different things. And then, or someone who was drug addict, because in our case, in Sarajevo, usually we have either Muslims or atheists or people with the problems with addictions. And we always make sure that we have that free kind of the testimonies. So that would be book, table, street evangelism. And again, I'm very encouraged by it. We had some very deep and meaningful conversation. Why I suggest that more than one person goes to that kind of evangelism, because if person wants to talk more, then you have to walk a little bit away from the table, and then some other people can step in and take those other who are coming. I realize that we are a little bit time pressed, so I need to go faster. Second thing in your notes is flyering. And what flyering is? Flyering is basically advertising. I don't know who invited flyering. Was it church first or secular world? But you can see flyering on the streets for pizza places, for boutiques, for different things, car shops. And it's basically advertising. So what we as a Christians can advertise? We can advertise either church or some event in the church or some ministry in the church. So if it is church, just church contact details, time of prayer meetings, of Sunday worship. And then you go, and it's not point just to give a flyer to as many people as possible, but again, to spark conversation with them. So someone is walking on the street, and you say, hello, sir, lady, can I have a moment of your time? This is what I'm advertising. This is our church. Are you interested to hear a little more about it? I know that many people will just walk by and will not take flyer. Some will just take it and walk. But then some, maybe one in 50, one in 100, will want to talk more. And in my experience, I had some very deep and meaningful conversation through flyering. It's important to have good design and good quality of the flyers. The next one on the list, which you may think that I added by mistake, is prayer walk. And you can think, well, prayer walk is prayer walk. What that have to do with evangelism? It's prayer walk combined with evangelism. And there, I don't suggest that people go alone. The best is if it is two or even three and mixed gender. And what we do in our church, we come to church, we pray, we put some tracts and flyers in our pockets, and we just walk through town. And still, we are praying. We have prayer walk. And we pray, God, please bring someone on our way that we can share gospel with. And then we don't approach everyone, like if we are just flyering. But you know, if we feel if there is someone, and we don't go to some very public, you know, busy places like center of the town where people are in hurry, in rush, but somewhere more quiet where people are maybe walking or sitting by the river, or and then we would approach someone and again ask, "Hello, sir, lady, what a nice day. Do you have a moment? We would like to talk to you." First time when we did that, it was some 12 years ago, on the first day that we ever did that, we ran out on the street, we ran into one elder man. And as soon as we started to talk to him, he started to cry. And he told us that he is going to see a doctor, and that he was many years married, 50, 60, and some year ago his wife passed away, and he said he cried every day since then. And we spoke with him, we shared gospel with him, he was very open, and at the end we offered him a prayer. So we asked, "Would you mind if we pray for you?" He accepted, and on Sunday when I came to church, he was waiting in front of the church door. He became Christian, and not long after that, he passed away. He died. He was very committed Christian when he became Christian, and God really changed his life. So if it was only him in all those years, that would be give me enough passion and fire to continue doing that. But we've seen other changed lives as well. And the last one, which I put it on the list, is questionnaires. And again, one person could do it. It's easy. You have some questions on the paper. If you do maybe evangelistic event that week in the church, or you know, you go to the street and ask people, "Do you have one moment? We would like to hear your opinion." And that's a crucial question. People very much like to give their opinions, to be asked. And then questions are connected with religion, with Christianity, with church, and you hope that it will spark further conversation. Purpose of all those four which I mentioned is to meet people, to start communication, to start conversation, to share gospel, and to plant seed. And it's like fishing. You know, evangelistic events in the church building or in rented space or anywhere else with the speaker where you invite people to come in and then there is evangelistic address, that would be more like fishing with a fishing net. So you put net and you hope that as many fishes will be in the net. But this kind of street evangelism is more like fishing with a pole. Is it pole, correct word? Pole? Rod, okay, thank you. So you know, you throw bait and then you wait. And maybe a few hours can pass, but you are hoping and waiting for that big fish to catch, to be caught on the rod. The second group, which we put it here in outline, is active evangelism. I've seen what I call active evangelists, even one person doing it, and I really and seriously do admire them. When someone's alone on himself, go out to the town and preach and speak, I really admire them. I believe no one would do that, you know, if I believe God didn't call him to do it. However, it's not a thing which I would do, and I don't say that it is wrong, but I much more prefer the bigger group of the people, team, as many possible, better, to go together to the street. And different team of different people with variety of gifts and talents. So there should be someone who is gifted in public proclamation, who can speak. There should be people who are gifted in sharing their personal testimony. People who are gifted with music, musicians who can play worship songs. People gifted for acting, to do short drama on the street. And also prayer warriors, who even doesn't need to be visible. They can sit on the side or in some coffee bar or on the bench and pray for event during the event. It's very important to build and to train team that team members do have confidence and that they are motivated, so that they have confidence in what they believe, that they know that it is good news, which is changing lives of the people, and that they know that it is not just commandment of the God. Go and make all the people my disciples. But also that it's passion of his heart, that Jesus died for all those who are walking on the streets of our city. And then you can see here preaching. Maybe better it would be to say message instead of preaching. Because you are not in the church. I don't recommend to give 30-minute preaching exposition. It's rather shorter messages, which are illustrated, maybe with visual objects. And then we need to be very clear, to speak to the point, brief, short, to tell stories and parables, not doctrines, to be passionate as we are doing it. One example would be if I go next week to the streets of Sarajevo, I may take backpack with me or suitcase and just stand there and start to speak and say, hey, people of Sarajevo, listen to this story. It will be short, but it's very interesting. You see this backpack. Last week I was in Wisla in Poland and I was traveling and this backpack was full. I bought some books there, so it got really heavy. And as I was returning, as I was walking home, it really did start to hurt my back, and I start to feel that heaviness of this backpack. It's similar with our lives. We are burdened with the sins. From the time when we are born, we do and commit sins, and that are accumulating in our backpacks. But there is good news. Jesus came to release us from our sins. He came to take our backpack on his back. And if we give him, we can be free from it. And it's not point that after that 2 or 3 minute presentation, someone will come to the point and say, hey, I want to accept Jesus. To God, everything is possible, and praise the Lord if it happens. But I don't expect that it will happen. What I expect, that people who are with me on the street, they are trained to watch faces of the people who stopped to listen and to look for the signs of confirmation on their faces. So there will be some people who will say, ah, and just walk away, but some will stand and maybe open mouth and nod with their head. And then you are approaching that people and go to them and say, hey, have you heard that? What do you think of this? Do you want to talk a little more? And again, it's like fishing. Not everyone definitely will stop to listen. Those who stop, some will just walk away in the middle. They will not listen to the end. Some will listen to the end and walk away. But some will stay and want to talk more. And I'm always thankful to God and surprised how in Sarajevo, which is predominantly Muslim city, how many people does want to stay and to talk. It's very helpful to have testimonies so that people, instead of that short message, that people share their testimony, and drama sketches, music. Then in between, when we give talk or testimony, as we are speaking with the people who stay, if there is no one who can play music, just play CD. Bring the one CD player with batteries, and you can play CD. There are several fears which can come in our direction and which we need to overcome. First one is fear of embarrassment. And we are all concerned about our self-image. And that's good. If I'm not, I would not dress nicely, I would not comb my hair, But we do not have to allow that to control us. And the enemy is using that to stop us of preaching good news of the gospel. You know, what people will think of me. I was very surprised. I was pastor already. I was evangelist for several years. I did many street evangelisms. And once I was on the street, my son was first grade of elementary school. So that was some 10 years ago. And I saw from the distance mother of his friend from the class walking down the street. And my first thought was, I should hide a little bit. I don't want her to see me. But then I started thinking, man, what am I ashamed of? I should be proud. There is good news what I'm bringing. So I stood there proudly and I greeted her. Hello, do you want to take some of our books? There is no place to be embarrassed. The other fear of not knowing what to say. That can be a reasonable fear if we didn't prepare well. If we are giving short talk or testimony, we have to prepare well. We have to practice. We have, even with the friends from the church, and to ask for feedback. And if it is talk one-on-one, then in the beginning it's good to go with someone who is more experienced, who can jump in, who can help us. And practice and training and preparation does help with that fear. Fear of failure. Will we fail? Well, if we go to street, if we preach, if we share gospel with the people, we cannot fail. Because that is what God is asking us to do. God is not asking us to make converts. We cannot do that. He is the only one who can do that. And from my experience, when we are obedient in the calling which he gave us to go and to evangelize, he will give fruit. More or less, maybe less than what we want. Maybe we are all waiting for revival in our towns and our countries, and hopefully there will be plenty more. But for example, in Ezekiel 3, God is saying to Ezekiel, he said, go and tell to people. If you don't tell them and they die in their sins, it will be your fault. You will be guilty. You will be accountable. But if you tell them and they don't want to listen, you will not be responsible for them. So our responsibility is to go and to tell. And we cannot fail if we are obedient to God. And last thing, next to last, very briefly, fear of persecution. And that's also a realistic fear. It can happen. It can happen that people will speak bad words to us, maybe even to attack us. Again, I'm repeating, I'm in majority Muslim city doing street evangelism for many years. I've never been physically attacked on the street. I cannot guarantee that it will not happen. But what we have, we don't have promise from the God that things will not happen. But we have promise from him that he is always with us, especially as we go and evangelize people. After the great commission commandment in Matthew 28, Jesus said, I'm with you in all times. And we know when Saul was persecuting early church, when God knocked him down off the horse, Jesus told to him, Saul asked, who are you? And Jesus said, I'm the Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. Saul didn't persecute Jesus. He was persecuting his followers. But Jesus is identifying with his persecuted followers. So we shouldn't fear because of that. We can pray that that cup will go around us. But if it happens, we know that he is with us. And lastly, this is very important. I cannot overestimate the importance of prayer. In each step, we need to pray. We need to pray before then we go to street evangelism. We need to pray during street evangelism. And we need to pray after, to water everything well with the prayer.